serving. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Fusion. My name is Bo. I'm the lead pastor of our Fusion community. So grateful that you are all here. To any guests or visitors, welcome. Thanks for being with us tonight. And to my Fusion family, glad you're here. You guys ready for tamales in a few minutes? Okay, I'll try to go quick here so we can get to those tamales that are waiting for us. We are continuing in our series, Holy Moments, together tonight, where we look at the holy moments experienced by various characters in the story of Jesus' birth. And what I love about this series is that it's all about God meeting very normal people where they were and then leading them into a holy moment with Him. There are no characters more normal than the ones we're going to be discussing tonight during our time together. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the shepherds in the story of the birth of Christ and how God brought them to a holy moment that would require courageous obedience on their behalf. Have you ever found yourself in a moment that was scary, but that you knew you needed to go ahead and do this thing, even though you were afraid? Anybody have any moments like that in your past? I have multiple. I remember when I was 4 years old, my family, we lived in Dallas, Texas, and we were in a little suburb called Carrollton, and it was a really great place to grow up. But we had some kids down the street who were a bit older than me, and they were rowdy. Yeah, like that. They were rowdy, and they were troublemakers. They were just the troublemakers of the neighborhood. And to me, they were the coolest, but my parents wouldn't let me anywhere near them. One day, they decided to cause some trouble, and they went up and down the street, opening everybody's mailbox, taking everyone's mail, and throwing it into the gutters that went down below the sidewalk there. You know where the clown and It hangs out and talks to kids from? That's where they threw, I'm not encouraging you to watch that movie, by the way, but I want you to picture it. That's where they threw all of our neighborhood's mail down into these gutters. And I remember all of the families came out. It was like a neighborhood event, like a block party. Everybody came out, and we were trying to figure out how are we going to get the mail out from these gutters. And my dad had a brilliant idea. He and one of the neighbors lifted the manhole cover off of the gutter, and my dad looked at me and he said, "Bo, I'm going to hold your ankles and lower you into the gutter like a soldier." And you're going to, I'm like, do soldiers do that? I've never seen a soldier do that, Dad. And you're going to grab up all the mail and I'll pull you up. And I was like, you're out of your mind. Like, I'm not doing that at all. Actually, what I said was, yes, Dad, because he was my hero and he's my dad. And I'd literally do anything he told me to do. But let me tell you, I was terrified in this moment. Thankfully, I hadn't actually seen the movie It, so I had no concept of like a clown waiting to eat me. But I had visions of giant rats and alligators just waiting to bite my fingers as my dad lowered me into this like feeding tank for them. I remember thinking, what if he just drops me and I just live down there now? Like, are there Ninja Turtles in Carrollton? Because I'm gonna like live down here with them. But I trusted my dad. And because I trusted him, I was able to be obedient and do something that truly scared me, but that needed to be done. So he held my ankles and he lowered me into the gutter, and I got down. I grabbed up all the mail and the Reader's Digest and the TV guidebooks. This was the 80s. We had to do this sort of things back then. And he pulled me up, and let me tell you, Fusion, the crowd went wild. The situation, it seemed so scary to me, but my dad ultimately proved to know what he was doing. He knew there were no giant rats down there. There were alligators down there waiting to eat me. He knew he wasn't going to drop me. What do we do when God brings us to moments in our lives that scare us? What do we do when God brings us to moments that are going to require courageous obedience on our part? What do we do when God's plan is laid out before us and we think, I don't know if I can handle that? We're going to talk about all this tonight. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this time together in this community, Lord. We thank you for the ability to gather, to worship you, to lift your name on high. Lord, I pray that as we turn to your word now, that you would speak to us. Teach us about courageous obedience through the story of the shepherds, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. On your way in, you should have got a bulletin. You can go ahead and take that and open it up. There's some verses in there we'll be reading together and some points for you to fill out during our time. The Gospel of Luke gives us the fullest version of Jesus' birth and includes an absolutely brilliant and fascinating portion of the story dedicated to some shepherds who were nearby Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Now let's talk about shepherds for a moment before we actually get to reading the text. At the time of Jesus, at the time of his birth, shepherds were essentially the lowest of the low in this culture. They were dirty, they smelled bad, they hung out with sheep all day long, and not only that, their lifestyle and their schedule would have prevented them from participating in the religious practices of the day. Meaning, these guys probably, though they were part of the Jewish culture, they probably didn't go to temple. They probably didn't go offer sacrifices like all the rest of the Jews in Jerusalem and that area would have done. Which is ironic, because many scholars think that the fact that these shepherds were keeping sheep this close to Jerusalem, Bethlehem's about 5 miles away from Jerusalem, the fact that these guys were keeping these sheep where it was, these sheep were probably being raised to participate in the sacrificial system of the temple. There's a very strong chance that these very sheep these shepherds were watching over would eventually be sold and sacrificed at the Passover for the sins of Israel. It's interesting to keep that in mind, as these shepherds were about to meet the Lamb of God who would die and take away the sins of the world. But these shepherds, they had no status in society. Their word meant nothing. They had reputations as bad as their hygiene. And it's to these men that God decides will play a critical role in the nativity story. Let's read from Luke chapter 2. Here's what it says. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Underline that word terrified in your bulletins or in your Bibles. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you." Underline that as well. Who is the Messiah, the Lord. "This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." It was common practice at this time for choirs to be used in emperor worship. As the Roman emperor would enter into a place, choirs would gather and would sing praises for the emperor. And here, at the birth of the true king, a real choir shows up to declare the glory of the real God. It's also interesting what the angel says to these shepherds. "Peace on earth to people he favors." Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor at the time, was praised for inaugurating what they considered to be a worldwide peace known as the Pax Romana. Of course, that peace would be short-lived, where the peace brought by the Messiah would be eternal. Reading on in verse 15. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring all these things up in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. So here are these shepherds, minding their own business, hanging with their sheep, when the angel of the Lord appears to them. Now, there are multiple places in Scripture where the angel of the Lord will show up and speak to somebody, and people are almost always afraid when that happens. We don't get an exact description of what this angel looked like, but it says the glory of the Lord shone around them, and these shepherds were terrified by what they saw. You know, the glory of the Lord is an interesting thing. If you're around church very long, inevitably you will pray to see the glory of the Lord, right? We've all, Lord, show us your glory. We want to see your glory. Well, I think that sometimes we're biting off more than we can chew when we ask for that. Because when you read Scripture, when God's glory shows up somewhere, it is an intense event. Read about Mount Sinai in Exodus 19, or the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 6, when he steps into the Lord's throne room and sees his glory. It's like, it's a fearful thing to behold the glory of the Lord. So here are these shepherds, terrified, but brought to a holy moment that's going to require some action on their behalf. How do we respond to holy moments that require courageous obedience? Here's the first thing I want us to know. Number one, write this down in your bulletins. Remember that moments of courageous obedience are God's grace on our lives. Moments of courageous obedience are God's grace on our lives. Look, by worldly standards, these shepherds shouldn't have been anywhere near this story. I mean, if this story is actually about the God who was born as a baby to be a king, shepherds are not the people that you would expect to find in this story. Last week we talked about Simeon, a holy and devout man. You'd expect him to be in this story. The wise men from the east who bring the valuable and expensive gifts to the baby king, you'd expect them to be in the story. Mary and Joseph, the baby's parents, you'd expect them to be in the story. But lowly, stinking, untrustworthy, irreligious shepherds? Not so much. It is by grace and grace alone that the lowest of the low were invited to play a role in the birth of Christ. And I mean, when you think about it, of all the scenes of the nativity, and we've read the stories, you've seen plays, kids' plays, the church, whatever, we know the famous parts of the story. Of all the moments in the nativity, the most glorious moment of all is this one right here. A heavenly host, probably meaning a sky full of angels, appears and they sing this glorious song of praise to God. And who is the most glorious display for? For the most unglorious people you could find at the time. They say, "Glory to God in the highest heaven," meaning from the furthest corner of heaven all the way down to the lowest person in this culture, that is where God's glory rests. God brings us to moments of courageous obedience because of his grace on us. He gives us the gift of playing a role in his story and is in his kingdom that honestly we have no business playing on our own, except that he wills it and he makes it available to us by his grace. If you are here tonight and God is calling you to something scary, if he's calling you to do something that's going to require courageous obedience, take courage knowing that it is his grace that has led you to this moment. Moments of courageous obedience, they give us a test, a chance to be tested, to see what we're made of, to see how far God has brought us in our journey. I remember the year was 2011. Everyone was wearing Tom's shoes and wearing very, very low deep V t-shirts at the time. I was 26 and had been married for 4 months to my wife, Blake, and I was working with fifth and sixth graders as a pastor down in San Diego at a church down there. And I'd applied to be a youth pastor at this amazing church that I knew of and loved called Christian Assembly up in Los Angeles. And I applied because I felt God telling me to apply for this job. But the truth was, I knew I was not qualified for this job, and taking this job scared the heck out of me. However, God was clearly guiding the process because I applied. I had my 47 interviews, which is how many it takes to get hired here at Christian Assembly. And eventually, Tom Hughes called me and he offered me the job. And I accepted. And I was instantly terrified. When I was a kid, I really wanted to catch a seagull at the beach with my friends. And so one time at the beach, we lured one in with bits of hot dog buns and chips, and I ended up snagging it by the feet. Only once I had it, it was violent and angry and scary. And I didn't want to have it anymore. You guys know what I'm talking about? That's kind of how this felt for me in this moment. I had reached for something, and as soon as I had it, I was very afraid of it. Not that the job at CA was angry or violent or scary. It just seemed too big for me. I called my dad. I said, "Dad, they offered me the role." And my dad said, "That's awesome." And I said, "But Dad, I can't do this. Like, I can't lead this ministry. It's way too, like, big time for me." And my dad, in all his wisdom and all his comfort, said, "Bo, you're right." He said, "So you're gonna have to get more big time. And by big time, I mean you're gonna have to learn to follow and trust Jesus like you never have before." Stepping into a pastoral role here at Christian Assembly was the scariest thing I had ever done. Not because CA is scary, but because this church has such an incredible legacy of God's grace doing amazing things in this community. And I was just so scared I was going to come in and wreck it all. I was going to burn this place down. But God's grace was all over it and all over my life. The fact that I was offered the job was God's grace, and it was a moment of courageous obedience on my behalf and Blake on our behalf to step up into this role and move up here. But God's grace has been present with us every single day since then for the last 12 and a half years. Fusion, if God is calling you to something that requires courageous obedience, maybe it's sharing the gospel with somebody who you know desperately needs to hear and receive the good news of Jesus. Maybe it's trusting him with your finances, beginning to tithe and give and be generous with what God has given to you. Maybe it's ending a relationship that you know needs to come to an end. Maybe it's making a hard confession that you really don't want to make, but you know God is calling you to confess something. Maybe it's stepping onto the mission field and going and serving others. I don't know what it is, but would you just remember that it is his grace that has brought you to this moment? The next thing we learn from the shepherds is this, number two. Remember that if there were no fear, we wouldn't need faith. If there were no fear, we wouldn't need faith. Look, we all want great faith, right? Can we, I mean, most of us who are trying to follow Jesus, we all want great faith. We pray for it. We ask for it. We're inspired by others who have it. But if there wasn't a moment of fear, there would be no need for faith. It's kind of like miracles, right? Show of hands. How many of you love miracles in this room? Absolutely. Okay. How many of you love needing a miracle? Ooh. We like the miracle, but we don't want to need it. Faith is kind of like that. We want faith. We just don't want to be in any moments that are going to require faith of us. In order for us to grow a deep, rich faith, we must come to moments that require courageous obedience. The shepherds were terrified by what they saw, and yet that fear was the breeding ground for a faith that would end up having these guys telling everybody about the newborn king. If you want Jesus to give you a deep, rich faith, just know that faith is going to be provided for you through some situation that's going to be scary and overwhelming. Do you want faith that God can heal people? then be ready to pray for somebody who really needs healing. Do you want faith that God can provide? Then be ready to experience a situation where if God doesn't come through, the ship's going down. Do you want a faith that believes that God can save your family and your friends with his gospel? Then be ready to share your faith when that moment comes. I pray that Fusion is a community marked by a deep faith in 2024. I want that for us. I am contending for the faith of this community as we step into a new year together. But as I do that, I know that means we are going to face situations together that are going to be scary for us. But here's what's exciting. Two things. First of all, we're going to face these situations together. No one's going to face a scary situation in this community alone because we are here with each other. And the other thing that I'm excited about is that God is going to use our courageous obedience to expand his kingdom and to reach young adults with the gospel. Our courageous faith is going to have a kingdom impact like it did for the shepherds who went everywhere spreading the good news of what they saw. Which brings us to our third and final point. When we face situations that require courageous obedience, number three, remember that your testimony of courageous obedience will give someone else the opportunity for their holy moment. Your testimony of courageous obedience is going to give somebody else the opportunity for their holy moment. The shepherds went and saw the baby Jesus, and when they did, they found everything. I love how it says, just as the angel said it would be. I love that. Because God didn't mislead them. He didn't exaggerate. He told them exactly how it would be, and that is exactly how they found it. Do you know that you can trust what God tells you, Fusion? You can trust his word. You can trust his promises. Because when God says it, God does it. Now, we have to be careful not to speak on God's behalf, not to claim things that he never said. But when we align with God's word and are led by God's spirit, you can trust what God says. It will be exactly as he said it would be. Just like it was for the shepherds. And that is what the shepherds went and they shared with everybody that they could. It says the shepherds reported the message and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Fusion, when God calls you to courageous obedience, just know it's going to be exactly as he said it would be. Not necessarily easy. And not necessarily in our preferred timing, but as God said it, that is how it will be. And when we share that testimony, when we share that story of how we had courageous obedience and we found God faithful through that process, others are going to find the courage to be obedient in their lives as well. One of my favorite stories of courageous obedience, which has led many people to their own holy moments with God, is the story and the life of a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Bonhoeffer was a German theologian in the 1930s. And as the Nazi regime came into power and began influencing and corrupting the Christian church there in Germany, Dietrich Bonhoeffer became a leading voice opposing the Nazis. For years and years, he fought against the Nazis' influence, specifically of the church there in Germany. But eventually, things became so dangerous for him that he left and he came to the safety of America. He took a position as a theology instructor and planned to continue serving God from America as it became clear that Germany was heading towards what would eventually become known as World War II. However, once he was safe in America, once he had escaped the danger of Nazi Germany, he began to feel a conviction that he had abandoned the Christian church in Germany in favor of his own safety. And if I'm honest with you, I probably would have done the same thing. fleeing Nazi oppression in Germany seems like a reasonable thing to do. But for Bonhoeffer, he just couldn't sit with the feeling that God wanted to use him in the midst of one of the greatest evils the world had ever or would ever see. So Dietrich Bonhoeffer made a very hard decision. He decided to go back into Nazi-occupied Germany, into the height of Nazi oppression, violence, and the complete corruption of the Christian church in Germany. And when he was asked, why would he risk his life and go back into such a dangerous situation, a situation that would almost certainly cost him his life, listen to what he said. He said, I have come to the conclusion that I made a mistake in coming to America. I must live through this difficult period in our national history with the people of Germany. I will have no right to participate in the reconstruction of Christian life in Germany after the war if I do not share in the trials of this time with my people. Knowing full well the risk and danger of this situation, Bonhoeffer was courageously obedient, and he went back to Germany. And there, for several years, he was a leading voice opposing the Nazis, specifically their corruption of the Christian church. And he had a huge impact. So huge, in fact, that eventually he was arrested. And Bonhoeffer would eventually be executed. He was hung by the Nazis. But his story of courageous obedience has inspired literally millions and millions of Christians around the globe. Read his book called The Cost of Discipleship sometime. And when you read it, when you're reading the words of a man who's talking about what it costs to follow Jesus, know that you're reading the words of somebody who knows what he is talking about. Fusion, I don't know where God is calling you to have courageous obedience. I don't know what God is calling you to that is scary or overwhelming for you. But like the shepherds in the field that night, would we choose obedience? Even if it scares us, even if it costs us our comfort, remembering that it's all done for the glory of God and the advancement of his kingdom. Would you pray with me? Tommy team, you can join me up here. Fusion, I want to invite you to, as you bow your heads, just to reflect for a moment. Is there a place that you feel God calling you to obedience that's going to require courage on your behalf? Is there some action he's calling you to that maybe it makes you afraid? Trusting him with something, trusting him with someone, sharing the gospel, getting serious about a sin or an addiction that's been a complete secret in your life, but you know it's time to receive help from Jesus and from his church in this season. Maybe it's finances. You know the Lord is calling you to trust him and begin tithing, begin giving, begin being generous. And that's scary for you. But you know it's what he's calling you to. Where is he calling you to courageous obedience tonight? As this situation, this moment, this action comes up for you in your mind, just take a moment. And if you would, just tell him, Jesus, I trust you with this. I trust you with this moment. I trust you with this situation. I trust you with this thing that you're calling me to. Lord, would you help us to choose courageous obedience tonight? Knowing that it's always going to lead to your glory. Knowing that it is evidence of your grace in our lives. And Lord, I pray that as we choose courageous obedience like the shepherds did, that as we share that testimony, Lord, that others would be brought into a holy moment with you. Lord, we thank you for this Christmas season as we anticipate celebrating your birth, Lord. Would you teach us to have courageous obedience, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Fusion, would you stand as Tommy and the team lead us?